Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. Recently, Brother and Mrs. Hinton returned from their Thanksgiving visit with his parents up in Illinois, and they sent me a cup. His parents used to be members of our church years ago, and sweet people. They sent me a cup, big blue cup about that tall, and on the side of it, it says, 10-2, send help. 10-2, send help. And it was a little thing they were basing on Luke chapter 10. If you found your place, I'm going to begin to read back in verse number 57 of Luke 9. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we shall begin to read in verse number 57 of Luke 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Jesus said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, that is, another 70 in addition to the 12. And he sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." I want us to notice that verse number 2. Therefore said the Lord unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So you see where 10-2 came from and the words send help. I want to speak from that verse tonight for just a few moments under this title, No Excuses, The Work Must Be Done. No excuses, The Work Must Be Done. That's the Lord's work I'm talking about. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I bring the message. Use it to encourage our hearts. Use it to motivate some to faithful service. Use it to stir the hearts of those that used to serve but who have quit. And Lord, would you get us into a place and into the right spiritual shape where we'll be of value to your cause throughout the next year. Lord, we don't know for sure we've got another year. But Lord, if we do, we ought to desire to make it the best. We ought to desire to give you our best. And we ought to be willing to find a place of service and ministry in your church as your child and not be just a Christian that sits and waits on everybody else to do the work. Now, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy spirit and use me in these next few moments for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of years after Jesus had chosen the 12 apostles, here in Luke chapter 10, he appoints another 70 to go before him in teams of twos into every city where he will follow. They are forerunners of Jesus Christ. They're to go in and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God, and introduce them to the fact that Messiah, the Savior, was following them. He was coming after them. Now, our Lord was not looking for the most talented, but rather He was looking for those who were faithful and without excuse would go for Him. It's very probable that some of these that we read about in chapter 9, verse 57, 58, 59, and 60 and 61 were more talented than these. But they were not faithful. They were making excuses. He said, follow me. And one said, I've got to go bury my father. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if your father's dead. But according to Bible scholars, this man was making an excuse. His daddy wasn't even sick. He was saying, let me stay home until my daddy dies. And after my daddy dies and I bury him, then I'll find time to serve you. Then it went on down and another one said, I'll follow, Jesus said to another, follow me. And he said, I'll follow thee, Lord, but first, let me go home and tell everybody at my house goodbye. Let me see my kids get up grown. Let me see my family grow up. Then I'll serve you. Now, we've got a lot of, these had to be Baptists. I still hear those excuses. It's my job, it's my family, it's this, it's that. But God's looking for people to serve Him who are not willing to make excuses, but simply obey Him. Simply obey Him. The principle is true even today. We have a lot of talented people who make excuses why they can't serve God because they're too busy promoting their talent. Talent is fleshly. It can be used spiritually, but talent is fleshly. Unsaved people have talents. Nat King Cole had talent. Elvis Presley had talent. But I wouldn't want either one of them serving as a Sunday school teacher in my Sunday school. Talent's not the most important thing. We have a lot of talented people today who won't serve. They just make excuse why they cannot go and they cannot serve. The Lord is looking for the faithful and available Christian who is already following Christ. You see, these 70 were not strangers to Jesus. They were not people that had never heard the gospel before. They were not Johnny-come-latelys. These 70s had already been saved, and they were followers of Christ. They were already faithful to Christ. And when He chose them, appointed them to go before Him, they were willing. They were willing to go. They were willing to serve. They didn't make excuses. They just obeyed. And oh, how we need this in our church today. May I say to you that we have the idea that God's interested in talent, but He's not. He's interested in faithfulness. Faithfulness. He can use a weaker branch of the tree that's dependable than He can the one that's the most beautiful or the biggest if it's not dependable. He's looking for the man or woman with, though they may have less talents and ability, they're faithful. And they're men and women of character who can be depended on. I don't want a Sunday school teacher in my Sunday school that you never know if they're going to be there on Sunday or not. And I'll go a step further. I don't want one that's always coming in 10 minutes late. We need people that are dependable. People who are faithful. I can look out over this congregation and I can tell you what time most of you get to Sunday school because only a couple of you get here before I do. There's very few people in the parking lot when Brother and Miss Garmin get here. There's only one or two people in the parking lot when they get here. But God's looking for faithful people, dependable people. He can do more with a Christian of lesser talent and greater character and faithfulness than we can get done with those who are most talented. The reason is the talented spend so much patting themselves on the back. They are looking for credit and glory. They're making excuses why they couldn't do this or couldn't do that. There are some facts that'll never change when it comes to ministry of the local church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some simple facts. And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to point out some of these facts. We're getting ready to end this year and start another year, and we've got big plans and big goals for next year. Now, God has blessed us this year. It's been a tough year on me personally, physically and other reasons. But my goodness, I cannot remember a year when I've seen more miraculous answers to prayer. I'm talking about big things that could not have happened except God did it for us. God answered our prayers. But we're about ready to go into a new year. And man, I've been praying for the last 3 years. We've been reorganizing Sunday school over the last 2 years, reorganizing bus ministry and times, and so that everything's got room to grow. Now it's time for us to quit talking about it and get busy doing it. Now, I've been looking at our Sunday school records, and I've noticed some of our departments have done well this fall. Some of you have grown. I remember when we made all the changes and we made our departments smaller in number and size and age groups. Everybody kind of looked around and man, where you'd been running 50 and 60, now you're running 25. But now then, some of the departments are back up into the 30s and 40s. And it'll continue to grow like that because of our room and our reorganization if we have people who are faithful, people of character who will do and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about some facts that'll never change when it comes to the ministry of the local church and the Lord Jesus Christ and His workforce. Remember our title, No Excuses. The work must be done. And may I say, that must be our attitude here at Trinity about the Lord, work of the Lord Jesus Christ here. No excuses. Your class has got to grow. No excuses. Your Sunday school group's got to grow. No excuses. Your department's got to grow. No excuses. Your bus routes got to get with it. The work's got to be done. It's His work, and time's running out on His work. Work, for night cometh when no man can work. Now let me give you some simple facts that are not going to change. Number one, those willing to serve are fewer in number than those we're trying to serve. Those willing to serve are always fewer in number than those willing to serve. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's always true. There's going to be more out there needing our attention than there are people willing to give themselves to meet their needs. There's going to be more people need witnessing to than there will be people to do the witnessing. There's going to be more classes that need teachers than there are people willing to teach the classes. There's always more bus routes that need to be built than there are drivers to drive the bus and workers to staff the bus. We are not even touching the hem of the garment concerning the work of the ministry here in the mid-cities, the Arlington mid-cities area. The need is always greater than the workforce. And we struggle all the time saying, man, that person is talented, what could they do? Nothing if they're not faithful. Nothing if they're not men and women of character. The talented are greater in number than the faithful with character. But it's the faithful with character that gets the job done. The talented's always looking to build themselves up, always looking for the pat on the back, always looking for remuneration for their service. But this is His work. May I say to you, His blessings don't always come in the form of dollars and cents. We must not compromise talent for faithfulness and character. Those willing to serve are fewer in number than those we're to serve. The need's always greater than the workforce. How many times have you heard us this year tell you how much we need workers? Pray for workers. Pray that God will send us people with a mind to serve God. We've got pew setters. We need workers. We need people with a burden and a vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. You study the Word of God and you'll find multitudes finding Jesus, but you'll not find Him sending multitudes out, because most of them weren't willing to go. Most of them were making excuses. They were making up excuses. When my daddy dies, he's about 25 or 30 now, when he dies, I'll serve you, Lord. When I get to be 30 or 40 and get all my wild oats sowed, hey, why don't you quit sowing wild oats and get right with God? Hey, you're not an oat sower. We're to spread the gospel. We're to preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel. So we must not compromise talent for faithfulness or service. Then number two, we must be willing to wade through the excuses of the many and use those who are willing and faithful regardless of the talent level. Now I know we have people sitting in Sunday school classes that are more talented than many who are serving. But we're not going to put them in the place of service because they're not faithful and they don't have the character that's needed to lead a class. We're not going to make that compromise. So what are we going to do? We're going to wade through their excuses. And we're going to look for the faithful, for those with faithfulness and character regardless of their talent level. Talent does not impress me. I've seen talent come and go, and usually when it goes to the world. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when a person loves God and they have character and they're faithful and they are talented. And that happens many times, but more times than not, they'll offer excuse and go their own way. So, those willing to serve are fewer in number than those we are to serve. And secondly, we must be willing to wade through the excuses of the many and use those who are willing and faithful regardless of the talent level. You say, now in business, we're looking for talented people. The only problem is this is not secular business. This is God's business. In the secular world, if they don't do the job, you fire them. You got the paycheck as the carrot. In the Christian world, you got to love Jesus. The earthly rewards may not seem great. You've got to have your eyes beyond this life on the world to come when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And believe that He is a faithful rewarder of them who serve Him faithfully and diligently. And then thirdly, we notice that He chose 70 also. And He sent them out after people, not things. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom whereby men enter into, women enter into by the new birth. That means they had to go out proclaiming the gospel. Now notice what I'm about to say. He chose 12 who were his apostles. Yes. See, if you remember the trivia question, how many disciples were there? Many. How many apostles were there? No, there's 17 in the New Testament. 17 people in the New Testament are called apostles by divine inspiration. The original 12, Matthias, keep count, 13, right? James, the brother of Jesus, one time is called an apostle. That's 14. 15, Barnabas is called an apostle. 16, Paul, the apostle, called out a due season. 17, one time, Jesus is called the chief apostle. 17 apostles. Okay? Many disciples. The original 12 were called to follow Jesus and to give their lives to Him. They were full-time servants of God. The 70, they appear this one time in the Scripture, and later on, I think it's in verse 17 of chapter 10, they come back after they've done their job. They are volunteer workers. They are not called to preach. They are not full-time servants. They are not pastors or apostles. They're volunteers. Isn't it amazing? The greater number of people in the work of the Lord were volunteers, not those called to full-time service. Now, the 70 were sent after people and were not to be busy about things. And the thing I want to point out to you is this: people are more important to God than things. In our Sunday school, yes, I want the building nice. Yes, I want the bathrooms working properly. Yes, I want the air conditioning to be fixed. By the way, we get to replace an air conditioning and heating unit on top of the two-story Sunday school building. The heat exchangers got a hole in it. It burned up all the wiring. And the compressor's got a leak. Instead of getting it fixed, it's cheaper to replace it. Quicker, too. So, anybody have $8,000 you want to donate tonight? That's what it's going to take. See, I guarantee you there's not anybody in here goes to bed, will go to bed tonight, concerned about that $8,000. But I did last night. I wasn't worrying about it, but I was concerned about it. But let me tell you something. God's more concerned about one soul than that $8,000. Because He came to die for people, not things. Not things. And in our Christian life, if we're not careful, we'll give our attention to things and not people. Yes, we've got to have office personnel. Yes, we've got to have buildings clean. Yes, there's got to be maintenance on the buildings. Yes, those things are necessary. Just like your job is necessary for you to earn a living to provide for your family. But may I say to you, with God and His work, things are not the most important thing. And if we're going to have a right relationship with God, we've got to come to that understanding that people are more important than things. And if you don't have that understanding in your Sunday school class, you're never going to do what you should do. If you don't have that understanding on your bus route, you're never going to be the bus captain you ought to be. We've got to be more concerned about people than things. Fourthly, the greatest number of people in the Lord's workforce are volunteer workers, not paid workers. He had 12 full-time apostles, called of God. They gave their life for the ministry of Christ Jesus. These 70 were appointed volunteers. They served for a while. They were not called for full-time service. They are not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament, except right here. In the other synoptic gospels where we hear the verse, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." He does not even mention the 70. Now, does that mean they're unimportant? Absolutely not. You listen to me. The majority of the workforce in the Lord's work are not full-time Christian workers. They're volunteer workers. Now, here's our problem today. We think it's the job of the paid staff to do it all. It's the job of the pastor and the paid staff to organize, train, and lead in the doing of the work. But the greater workforce in our church has got to be the volunteer workforce. The Sunday school teacher, the bus captains, the drivers, the workers. And we must never forget that principle. Anytime we get to the place, well, let the staff do it, they're paid for it, we're looking at this thing wrong. Because the paid staff can't do it all. These 12 couldn't do everything God wanted the 70 to do. It is the job of the staff to help organize and train and lead and motivate the volunteer forces to get the job done. We mustn't forget that. You are essential for the Lord's work. And some of you used to serve, but you've quit. And you need to get right and re-enlist. God appointed you, but you've made excuse and withdrawn. Some of you are sitting out there and God wants to use you in a Sunday school class or in a bus ministry, and you're not going to volunteer. He's spoken to your heart. He said to several, "Follow me," and they made excuse, but there were 70 that went. 70 that served. 70. They may not have been the most talented, but they were faithful. Now let me tell you, I tell my staff often, that our job is not just to piddle around and come to church and teach a class and lead a ministry and count that in our 40-hour work week. You don't. Everything you do for God, you do volunteer after you've worked to make a living. And our position on a staff is to work and do. I expect my staff, I expect myself to put in the time just like you do, and then give myself to service, give myself to preach, to lead, to teach, to visit, do the other things. I don't expect you to work 40 hours and then come and serve and work a bus ministry, and us work 30 hours and sit back and count bus ministry and Sunday morning service part of our work week. Nay, nay. That's foolish. That's dishonest. But we don't expect you to sit back and do nothing. We expect you to volunteer. We expect you to be a part of the workforce. There's people you can reach and people you can encourage and people you can love that I cannot reach if you'd just be willing to say, "Lord, here am I, use me." And then quickly, we spend too much time and money expecting the paid staff to do the work instead of the staff being used to train and lead the army of volunteer workers. Notice that the volunteer workforce were appointed first, and then they willingly served the Lord. It wasn't a lifetime call as with a pastor. But these 70 went out and did the work for God. And if you'll read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out God gave them unusual power. Oh my, that we might see faithful workers with God's power on their life. Not just the preacher, not just the staff, but laymen and women with the power of God on their life. Then sixthly, God's one plan to increase the number in the volunteer workforce is prayer. Prayer. God's one plan. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Prayer. A growing church always needs workers. How do we get workers? Well, we preach the need and we pray the need. We preach it and we pray it. And we plead that God will put some people in our pews with a heart toward God that'll not make excuses, but will say, Lord, here am I. Use me. May I say to you, the number of our workforce must be increased. And if it is not, the church will suffer greatly this year if we don't have the volunteers and train the workforce to do the work God's given us to do. We're nearing the beginning of a brand new year. It may be the very last year some of us will have to serve God. I'm not talking about God coming. I'm talking about some of us going to die before 2008 rolls around. 2007, somewhere on that calendar, some in our congregation has an appointment with God. This may be our last year. It may be the last year for all Christians to serve. This next year could be the year of our Lord's return. I want to tell you folks, there's some great needs here at Trinity Baptist. We need a greater army of faithful volunteer servants than we currently have at this time. We need a greater army. Men and women who are faithful, men and women who are committed, and men and women who are compassionate. Compassionate. I preached in our chapel service last Friday, and I believe the one thing that's missing from our students is compassion. I think the one thing that's missing from our soul winning is compassion. We go out to get a number instead of to rescue sinners. I think the one thing missing in our missions programs, compassion. Not just to see how many churches we can start, how many can we help to come to a closer walk with God? Compassion. God would have us to feel the hurt in the hearts of a hurting world. We need to leave behind our excuses and do our very best to serve our Lord through His local church. I'm asking you to give your greatest efforts in serving God this next year and give them through His local church. I find a lot of people wanting to start their own ministry outside of the church. They do nothing to build up the church. And if the church is not built up, the missions is not built up. The soul winning is not built up. People are wanting to serve in their own little ministry outside the church so they're not answerable or accountable. But may I say to you, we're still accountable to God. Let's give our best efforts to our Lord through His church Our ministry must be for His benefit and His glory and not just about me. It's about Him, folks. The harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. God's still looking for another 70 that He can send out. That's about what we have in our Sunday school teachers and group captains, about 70, a little more. I'd like to see that number double. So what would happen? Our Sunday school would double in size. Our bus ministry would double. I challenge you. Get in the volunteer army. You say, well, I want to be a full-time pastor. Guess where you start out? Before I was a pastor, I was a volunteer from the pew. Before Todd Lasseter was on this staff in full-time capacity, he was a volunteer from the pew. Father, just some simple thoughts. Help us, Lord, to take them to heart and think about our life and the coming year.